You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
It's 1 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. This is America's Web Radio, the most eclectic mix of conservative shows in the internet, and we are with Josie Cruz in
Let's Talk Venezuelans.
Let's Talk Venezuela. Hello, Brett. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Very good. Today we have a lot of news. We have even a surprise ultra deluxe partner in crime for this program. this person is a very well-known Venezuelan. She lives in Texas.
Okay.
And she is a person that is very well known even in Venezuela and around the world. Her name is Crystal Montañez. Crystal was Miss Venezuela in the 70s. I know her since then. She's a very close friend of our producer, Josie Cruz.
Mm-hmm.
And she will talk about the crisis.
The crisis in Venezuela?
Yeah, the crisis in the border of Colombia and Venezuela.
Okay.
As you know, Josie, mm-hmm. in Colombia, in Venezuela, in the area of the plains and mm-hmm. the Los Llanos,
mm-hmm.
there were heavy fights between the armed forces, Venezuelan armed forces, and a split part of the FARC.
Las FARC?
Yes,
okay.
Of Colombia. Our correspondent in Venezuela, Mr. Joelvin Villarreal,
mm-hmm.
he brought us a lot of information about what is really happening in that part of the country.
Mm-hmm. That's the south part of Venezuela, right?
Yes, it's
the plains.
Okay. Yeah, it's divided by the Arauca River,
mm-hmm.
The border between Venezuela and Colombia.
It's the Arauca River. Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
And in Colombia, it's known as the Arauca region.
Okay.
Okay. And in Venezuela, it's known as El Apure.
Apure.
Okay.
So
it's Apure State. So the fights were very heavy. Even the international bridge between Venezuela and Colombia over the Arauca River were destroyed
mm-hmm.
in the fight.
The bridge?
The bridge. The
oh.
bridge and the the La Aduana de Venezuela, the Saime, was destroyed by the guerrilla.
Mm-hmm.
The fights are very, very heavy for the last 4 days. And there is a lot of dead people, unfortunately. And this situation creates another humanitarian crisis
mm-hmm.
that we had already in the border between Venezuela and Colombia, but in the part of Cúcuta.
Mm-hmm.
So now there are two hot spots on that crisis of migrants that right now are fleeing because of the heavy combats in the region.
Mm-hmm.
This reminds me in a different way what happened in Syria in the beginning of the war in Syria 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Okay? The thing is that the FARC, the Colombia FARC, are divided into a military front mm-hmm. and the political front.
Mm-hmm.
But the military front is involved into the narcotics, into the you know, the drug trafficking.
Okay.
And one of these people says, "We are not following you anymore. Okay, we are not taking care of the Sons cartels. That is the part of the Venezuelan army that is taking care of the cocaine that is going into Europe." Mm-hmm. Okay, and they are splitted, and in that process, we know that this division is working with the Sinaloa cartel.
Ooh.
Okay, the same people of El Chapo Guzman.
Ooh.
So this is
international crisis.
This is a very big international crisis.
Based on drug trafficking, human trafficking, and all the trafficking.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
So Mexico, Venezuela, Colombia, Bolivia, all those countries, all of them are involved in this big fight.
And the African nation that received that drugs and passed that drug to Europe and received that euros and financed the Syrian war. So
yeah, but if this situation continues, we might be seeing a second Syrian war, but not in Syria, but in America.
Remember,
in South America.
Remember that one of the partners in crime is Iran.
Yes,
okay?
and
Iran is the regime that supports 100% El Assad's presidency in Syria. So if you connect the dots.
But it's very convenient for Iran. It's something like Syria events, you know, a duplicated Syria event,
yeah.
You know, a duplicated Syria event, the war, the civil war.
Mm-hmm.
It would be very convenient for Iran if it's duplicated in Venezuela or between Venezuela and Colombia, you know?
That's correct.
Because that would take the war attention on Iran, and they will put the attention and the focus on Venezuela and Colombia.
Well,
and then Iran will be left alone, so they can do whatever they wanted to do, like always they wanted it to do, right?
Yeah.
And that's very dangerous, because if we have a Muslim regime like Iran, and they have the capability to develop some kind of bomb.
Yeah.
That is dangerous, not only for the country surrounded around Iran, but for America, for the continent of America, from Canada all the way down to Argentina.
That's absolutely correct.
And you need to understand that Iran is in Zion, Venezuela, too, because one of the first guests, official guest that Hugo Chavez had when he was in power was the regime of Iran.
Exactly.
And now that regime of Iran has influence in Argentina, in Paraguay, in Uruguay, in Bolivia. I mean, the regime is being spread all over South America. Okay? And all that I got my theories, but it got reinforced when Obama was in power.
Absolutely.
He's the one who opened up the gates of hell.
Absolutely. Remember what the Iranian regime said about they had already terrorist cells in the United States. And
it's not only Iran. It's South Arabia, is Palestinian.
Yes, but what Iran declared is that they have already cells. Sleeping cells in the United States.
I believe that because if Venezuela said that they had the Bolivarian circles in here.
Okay.
The Bolivarian circle is communist.
Yes.
Okay, the Iranian sleeping cells is terrorism. So one way or another, they're going to be attacking to destroy and bring down America.
What was the name of the guy who committed the massacre in Boise, in Colorado.
He has a Muslim guy. His last name is Ali. Ali? Alison. Uh-huh. Ali? Oh, no. We work very close to that area.
Yes.
Yeah, we were doing some driving.
But the thing is, we are beginning to have the same pattern that we had
with
the Obama administration.
Yeah, exactly. With the Obama era, exactly.
Exactly.
In Boulder, Colorado.
In Boulder.
Yeah, in Boulder. And the guy's name is Aliwi.
Aliwi.
Ahmad Aliwi.
But the problems are the assault rifles.
Yeah, but they continue calling him the white man.
Yeah.
But they're not calling him the Muslim white man.
Exactly.
Okay, because
exactly.
He did this to 10 people in Boulder, Colorado,
mm-hmm.
because of the religious.
Exactly.
He's religious.
Yes.
Okay, and that's the problem that we're having with the Muslims in America, is they are coming here, but they are not assimilating. They are not learning. They don't want to learn. They just want to come and kill people if they don't assimilate to them. It's like pretending 1%.
When they put a mosque, what they said?
When they build a mosque in a city mm-hmm. or in a town, mm-hmm. they are declaring that that place belongs to them.
It's a Muslim territory.
It's a Muslim
it's
territory.
It's not United States
it's
territory.
It's not, exactly.
Okay.
So they are coming here with a very clear message, with a very clear goal, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And the communists are helping them out because they are plotting the road for them.
Yeah.
Okay, they are plotting the road, the communists.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm talking is the communists are plotting, they are breaking America down, and then... by calling, for example, this guy, the white man who killed 10 people in Boulder, the white man, but they are not calling them Muslim. And then
no.
Somebody asks, why they are not saying that he's Muslim? We need to understand and accept the reality that media in United States is under control of the Muslim mm-hmm. Brotherhood, okay?
Exactly.
8 years of Barack Obama in government were not in vain. He says that he was going to change America from his core.
Yeah.
And he did it.
And he's still doing it.
And he's still doing it, because when Trump was president for 4 years, he was still commanding. It was like we had two administration running.
Uh-huh.
Okay? Two administration running. So the conflict down in... Do you think the conflict down in Venezuela with Colombia... Well, it's not Colombia, it's Las FARC.
Yeah.
No, las Fuerzas Armadas Revolucionarias, Revolutionary Army Forces,
yes,
which are the one who are in charge of the drug trafficking,
yeah.
right?
Yeah, that's
okay.
correct.
Do you think they are involved with the Iranian in that situation?
Absolutely,
too?
Absolutely, because the FARC are supported for the last 60 years by Cuba.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we can talk about all this crisis after this message. Thank you, Brad.
Thank you.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
Hey, guys, it's Minister Frankie with Shine His Light Ministries. It's getting cold outside and winter is coming. It's time to shine a little light on our friends on the street. We're collecting blankets and coats for the homeless all winter long. Please donate by going to our website at www.shinehislightministry.com or text 770-655-8055.
Hey, folks, this is Victor with the On Point with Victor show. Make sure you listen every Tuesday, 1 to 2, only right here on America's Web Radio, the On Point with Victor show. Remember, folks, I'm not angry. I'm just right. And you can find out why every Tuesday from 1 to 2, the On Point with Victor show, only right here on America's Web Radio.
If you live to serve and want to make an even bigger difference, consider joining the U.S. Army. With training in fields like medical care, linguistics, and engineering, an Army career can amplify your efforts with humanitarian opportunities all over the world. Plus, you'll receive competitive pay and incredible benefits, so you'll be taken care of, too. Learn more at GoArmy.com.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
partida. Y ahora sí tenemos en la línea a Cristal Montañez. Buenas tardes, Cristal.
Hey, hola, Carlos. Hola.
Hello, hola, Carlos, Cristal. Yes, it's in English today.
okay.
Well, Cristal, we were talking about the heavy crisis that we have in the border with Venezuela and Colombia. To begin with, who is Cristal Montañez? Hello?
Carlos, ¿escucha?
Yes. Okay.
Who is Cristal Montañez?
Yes. Who is Cristal Montañez? Right now, I announce you as a very close friend of Josie, a former Miss Venezuela, and a person who realized a lot of humanitarian causes. What is going on? What is Cristal Montañez doing in the border between Venezuela and Colombia?
I am serving as an instrument of facilitator in the coordination of an international project known as Hope for Venezuelan Refugees. And the objective of the project, it is to respond to the food insecurity and hunger affecting the Venezuelan refugees, migrants, and walkers, caminantes, that are crossing the border, Colombia-Venezuelan border, even though right now it's closed and it's been closed since COVID, going through trochas. Trochas are informal territories who are extremely dangerous. They are plagued by ELM, by the guerrilla sparks, by armed groups, informal groups, paramilitaries, goons from the Venezuelan regime, etc. So the population that is actually coming from Venezuela are really at risk. They have to go to tremendous challenges, and on top of that, they have no money. Because Venezuelans are making the highest value right now published, $1.20 per month. So it takes 244 minimum salaries to buy one packet of flour to make harina pan, to make arepas, which is the Venezuelan bread. So what are people doing? Why are Venezuelans fleeing their country? They have been forced to flee their country because there is a scarcity, lack of food, lack of medicine. There is no electricity. There is no gas, propane gas to cook. There is no gasoline in the second largest producer of oil in the world with the largest reserve. So Venezuelans are leaving, and when you talk to people and you ask them, why are you leaving everything, little or much that you have, they'll tell you, we're dying of hunger. So the number one priority for the Venezuelans in Venezuela and the Venezuelans that are part of this humongous human displacement, the largest in the continent and the second largest in the world, is access to food. So what, we are responding to that need.
What is the number?
Sorry for the long answer, but that's the bottom line.
No, it's good. What is the largest humanitarian crisis in the world right now?
It is the Syrian crisis. But
the Syrian crisis. Okay.
The Syrian crisis, it was, it's a result of 8 years of war. And the neighboring countries around Europe are used to war and are used to receive refugees. Latin America is not used to this largest displacement of people. Therefore, our neighboring countries, even though they open their countries with open arms, and then they realized the challenge that they were confronting because they were not able to cope and offer services to this large population. Just imagine, let's take Colombia for an instance. Colombia is hosting right now about 2 million Venezuelans, documented 1.8 million. Add to that 845,000 Colombian returnees. Who are the Colombian returnees? Are those Colombians who lived in Venezuela all their life, who might not even have ties to Colombia or a place to go in Colombia, that were expelled by the dictator Nicolas Maduro? They were expelled from our country, and they have no other choice that leave Venezuela and find another place to go. Many of them, of course, try to stay in Colombia. Others continue working with the Venezuelan to Ecuador, Peru, etc. But mm-hmm. we all know the problems that we have in Ecuador and Peru with the xenophobia. Many times induced, that means paid by the regime in order to cause chaos, mm-hmm. rejection, and crime mm-hmm. against the Venezuelans. And other times are xenophobia that are a result of too many people in a country that is not ready to receive a migrant population. Mm-hmm. And they have no way to accommodate them. So this migrant population is all over the streets. The streets don't have public services. There are no public bathrooms on the streets. There are no huge trash cans for disposal of items. There are no set shelters for people to stay. So where are people going to sleep? They sleep on the streets.
Oh my.
So when you have 1, 2, 3, 4 years of this, mm-hmm. the host population shows certain degree of xenophobia.
Of course.
In other countries it's higher and in other countries it's less. Mm-hmm. But that is the reality, unfortunately. And what is that for? Because our continent is not used to these humongous displacements of people, and we are not ready under any circumstances and do not have any strategic plan to absorb this population, give them what they need, proper refugee camps with access to food, to water, to health, education, and also capacitation, so this refugee population that have intention to stay in that country can be integrated into the economical system, be part of the country, and sustain themselves and their family.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a tremendous issue.
Okay, and right now you said that in Colombia there are about 2 million Venezuelans in Colombia, plus the other people who went to the rest of Latin America. That is about another 3 million.
No, in Colombia, documented, okay, 1.8 million. The 2 million number comes because the president of Colombia. Let me be very specific. The president of Colombia, on my birthday, on February 8th, announced the creation of the temporary protection status for the Venezuelan migrants.
Okay.
And it was announced for 2 million Venezuelans.
Oh my.
However, the statistics said that there are 1.8 million Venezuelans in Colombia, that is in the different categories of migration, refugees and migrants, and 845,000 Colombian returnees. People, Colombians who lived in Venezuela that were expelled are now in Colombia. So Colombia at this point is really absorbing a population of what? Let's say 2.8 million people?
Yep.
That's a lot.
Around.
For a country like Colombia that has their own internal issues, their own internal migration programs, they have their own problems with the guerrillas that they always have had. And they have also a population categorized as historical poor, which is extreme poor that is categorized in Colombia as that they are never going to exit poverty. So it is very large all over the country. And on top of that, we have this migration. It's very difficult for the country, extremely difficult. So hopefully with this new temporary, the TPS for the Venezuelan migrants in Colombia,
uh-huh.
will help over time to solve some of these issues and allow the Venezuelan migrants to be integrated into the economy and to be a productive part of the economy in Colombia and be able to, as I said, help themselves and their families and contribute to their new host country.
Wow.
But all this takes time, and all this takes a tremendous amount of resources. How do you provide identification, 10 years temporary permit, access to health, to the health system, access to education, shelter, and capacity training to this population?
Just food.
I really pray and hope that this can be achieved, but I do know by experience that this takes time.
Okay, how many people are your organization is helping right now in Colombia.
Right. But let me clarify something. Our project is a project. It's not an organization. People usually think that we have a huge organization with a lot of resources. Well, that's not the case.
Uh-huh.
Our project is a civic society project that was born in a Rotary Club here in Houston called the Houston E-Club. We created the project in order to respond precisely to the food insecurity, to the lack of food, in order to help improve the condition of undernourished condition of the migrant population. So we began a very short project for 6 months. I went to Colombia for the first time regarding this project in August 2018. Up to today, I can give you a guess of how many people we have served. However, I cannot assure, and I'm going to explain to you why. From January 2019 to the end of March, we're still counting numbers of beneficiaries. We have distributed more than 860,000 meals.
Wow.
That doesn't mean that we have served 860,000 people.
No.
Because when we serve 14 different locations, pre-COVID, and 8 locations post-COVID, during COVID. It could be that Maria and Juan walk from Venezuela and arrive in Los Patios, and they have a meal in Los Patios, and they sign up the registration sheet. But Maria and Miguel got to Pamplonita after 8 hours of walk and ate again and sign up. So it could be that they eat in many different places of the food distribution centers and shelters who are supporting, and we cannot count them every time they sign up. But we do keep track of the numbers of meals, which is different. If I have to guess, I assume that we have benefited probably 500,000 people.
Hmm. Wow.
But we do have the documentation because we try to be very tangible and accountable for. We have a bank of signatures and data collected for the last 2 years and 3 months that leads to a number of approximately 860,000 meals that have been distributed to people. First, we began taking individuals' information.
Okay,
then we changed
Crystal,
the strategy.
Crystal, we are going into a commercial break, and we'll be back with you, okay?
Absolutely.
Okay.
If you live to serve and want to make an even bigger difference, consider joining the U.S. Army. With training in fields like medical care, linguistics, and engineering, an Army career can amplify your efforts with humanitarian opportunities all over the world. Plus, you'll receive competitive pay and incredible benefits, so you'll be taken care of, too. Learn more at GoArmy.com.
Hello, I'm Dr. Mike Karuchak. Have you ever wondered what doctors talk about amongst themselves? If you do, join us on the Doctor's Lounge and hear the doctors' conversations amongst themselves. Join me and my co-host, Dr. Hal Schertz, every Thursday morning, 8 to 9 a.m.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls of all ages, join me, Roger B., every Tuesday at 1400 hours right here on America's Web Radio for the Locked and Loaded Show. We will talk about guns, weapons, ammo, gun accessories, prepping, and so much more. So be sure to join us every Tuesday at 1400 or 2 p.m. for Locked and Loaded on America's Web Radio.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
Muñequita linda. Okay, Crystal. We are with Crystal Montañez, and she's talking about the humanitarian crisis that we have in the border between Colombia and Venezuela. And the big question is, now we have a state of emergency, or sort of with the war against between the FARC and the Venezuelan armed forces in the area of Apure, the Arauca. How that crisis or that armed confront is affecting right now your organization?
Well, it's affecting Colombia, really, because since this confrontation between the Venezuelan Armed Force and the FARC began, yesterday, the director of Frontier of Colombia, Lucas Gomez, he's the presidential delegate for border control between Colombia and Venezuela. He announced that since this issue began just a few days ago, 3,000 people have arrived in Colombia fleeing. Only from the weekend, 3,000 people arrived in Colombia this weekend due to this conflict. So from the weekend, and it was announced yesterday by Lucas Gomez. So what is going to happen here? Colombia is going to be flooded with even more people. We are in the process of closing our project, and of course, our resources are gone, and the food is gone. Every project has a beginning and an end. Ours has been renewed 4 times. We don't believe the international donor is going to stay in Colombia any longer because they have 73 countries that they're working with. They stay in Colombia. It was going to be a 6-month contract. It ended up being 2 years and 3 months.
Wow.
So what's going on? Yesterday, actually, I didn't sleep because the phone didn't start clicking and beeping because our communication group, our WhatsApp group where all the shelters communicate, we were able to acquire a very small donation to provide 300 meals per day after providing 1,300 per day. So a tremendous reduction, right? 1,300 with international cooperation. 350, yes, trying to do something so people are not left without food. And I just want to mention that at the beginning of the project in 2019, we were feeding between 4,500 to 5,000 people per day. So let's go back to today. How is this affecting? Yesterday, in one of the shelters at the entrance of Pamplona, Pamplona is very cold right now. Venezuelans are arriving without coats, without proper shoes. Kids have no blankets. It's really, I never seen any crisis like this, and I worked 12 years in Pakistan, just to give you an idea. In this shelter that we provided, limited 80 meals per night, it was based on the numbers that were tabulated and evaluated last week. Last night, they have 250 people that arrived.
And only 80 walking. Oh, my.
Yes. So we got all the panic and all the pictures and many, many, many children, women, and grandparents because the men already left. So there's different situations. There are situations where the men left, and then because of COVID, remember we have a bi-directional migration towards Venezuela. Because people were evacuated from their, evicted from their places, and they were all, they lost their jobs. They couldn't be outside selling on the informal businesses because of the quarantine. They began walking to Venezuela. But at the same time, we have to serve that bi-directional migration, those returning to Venezuela and those that, despite the closed border, were leaving Venezuela to another neighboring countries and different cities in Colombia. So some of the men that left first came back to look for their wives. Left the children with family members, in many cases grandparents. Guess what's happening right now? Because of the hunger and the lack of access to food. And it's not that there is no food. If you go to the Iranian grocery store, you find the most luxurious food that you can find in any grocery store over here.
Yes.
What is that if they don't have is the cash, the money to access the food. You cannot buy anything with $1.20 a month. So, right now, the population that is arriving is mainly women with children or grandparents with children, senior citizens walking, from Venezuela, because they have no money to pay for a bus like they used to pay before. They took a bus from their city to San Antonio del Táchira, and then they crossed the border. Well, the international bridge, Simón Bolívar, is closed. So they have to go to the very dangerous trochas, the greenways. They have to pay to go through. If they don't have any money, they have to pay with shoes, with cell phones, with backpacks, with whatever they want. Back in those back roads, there is prostitution, kidnapping. There is recruiting for drugs distribution and plantation, and also illegal mining. There is traffic of women and children. All this is being documented by the international agencies. They've done tons of reports and tons of research on this. How do they control it? It's very difficult. I think it's a 2,200 kilometers, I'm not sure right now of the number. It's a huge border. And right now it's plagued by the bad guys from Venezuela and the same from Colombia.
The partners in Colombia, yes.
Yes, your counterparts. So it is a business. So people that come with no money, you never know what's going to happen as they try to cross through the trochas. So this is a really humanitarian, complex humanitarian tragedy. It's not even a crisis anymore. It is a tragedy.
Okay, and what can the international community that right now is hearing you can help to ease this situation?
Well, the international communities right now are trying to figure out how to coordinate a national strategy to absorb 1.7 to 2 million people. That's a huge task.
And how?
So that's what they are trying to do.
And how
now,
the people who is hearing you can help the project that you manage to for your cause? So how
sure.
Can?
Well, we're initiating for the first time a fundraising campaign, because I really believe that we cannot abandon the refugees at this very challenging moment. Because if we leave the route, we're going to leave a lot of the civic society run shelters without food.
Sweet.
So we are organizing to launch a campaign, and I would love to give you the information, but it's going to be a partnership with a new organization, with United for Change, which is a 501c3 here in the U.S.
Okay.
They are going to be hosting the donation platform. And the name of the organization, if you look on the internet for United for Change, Hope for Venezuelan Refugees, you can get to our donation page. Learn about the project. Look at the videos. And I want to say something that is very important. All the pictures that I use, because I produce the video, I don't want to even say produce, because I'm not a producer. I just did it because somebody has to do it, right?
Yeah.
So
correct.
I'm not going to complain. I just roll up my sleeves and do what needs to get done, instead of waiting for an expert to do it. All the pictures have been taken by the volunteers in the different shelters.
Wow.
So if you go to the United for Change, Hope for Venezuelan Refugees page, you will be able to see the 8 shelters that we are closing our last project with, and get to see how the dynamic works.
So you have right now 8 shelters.
We had 8 shelters, and the planning new phase, we cannot literally afford to support 8 shelters. There is a big difference when you're working with an international donor. Even though I'm a volunteer, we had an international donor that supported the Rotary Club of Houston and the Rotary Club of Cúcuta, our local partner. Our donor was Rights Against Hunger for all this time, which we're extremely grateful to this amazing organization. And it's very different when you, as an individual, in this case, said, oh, I cannot see this project coming to an end, because the need is there and it's increasing. So personally, as somebody that has been working in this crisis for almost 3 years, it will be very easy to say we finished the contract, we closed an extremely successful and recognized in Colombia and around the world project. That could be the easy way, but I'm not going to do it. I don't know how we're going to raise funds, but we're going to do it because this invisible crisis, which is the Venezuelan crisis, does not have a lot of visibility because all the problems going around the world right now. So the least thing that I can do as a Venezuelan, it is to leverage on what we have developed for the last 2.5 years. And what is that? The most difficult thing in a project is not really the food and the money. Those can be acquired. The most difficult thing to have and the most value is to have the people, the volunteers that are committed to cook, to go into the forest and find wood to shop because there is no money to pay for gas, and set up over big humongous pans that they set open on the open fire every day to cook, to find the coordinators that offer their homes and their kitchens, who are Colombians, who are very humble also, who open their homes to the Venezuelan caminantes, the walkers, and those walkers now are volunteers and have a place to stay and a place to eat. We were working in this last phase with 49 volunteers.
49 volunteers to help.
Yes. So what happened with those volunteers? I've been working with most of those volunteers for over 2 years. Wow. Now, my question is, and I'm convinced these people are not human. As I tell them, I say, you guys must be angels dressed like human because it is hard work. They get up every day before 5 o'clock in the morning to make sure that at 5:45, 6 o'clock in the morning, the people have had their breakfast and are on their way because they need to walk 8 to 10 hours to get to the next place.
Oh, my. Okay.
So going back to the fundraiser, you can have a lot of money, but if you don't have the system in place, you don't have the places that have the capacity to cook, that know how to do it, that are willing and committed to distribute the meals and also to keep track of the inventories and the distribution of the meals, it is very difficult to do a project like this.
Okay, so you will explain that last part in the next 15 minutes. We are going into our commercial breaks, and we'll be back with Cristal Montañez and Josie Cruz talking about the Colombian-Venezuela crisis that is plaguing that zone during the last 2 years.
Hey, folks, this is Victor with the On Point with Victor show. Make sure you listen every Tuesday, 1 to 2, only right here on America's Web Radio, the On Point with Victor show. Remember, folks, I'm not angry. I'm just right. And you can find out why every Tuesday from 1 to 2, the On Point with Victor show, only right here on America's Web Radio.
If you live to serve and want to make an even bigger difference, consider joining the U.S. Army. With training in fields like medical care, linguistics, and engineering, an Army career can amplify your efforts with humanitarian opportunities all over the world. Plus, you'll receive competitive pay and incredible benefits, so you'll be taken care of, too. Learn more at GoArmy.com.
Whether cruising the strip in a 57 Chevy or taking the family on a vacation in a 71 Oldsmobile Vista Cruiser, you need to tune in to Classic Cars with Steve Ronaldo and Jim Weber every Saturday from 8 to 9 a.m. on AmericasWebRadio.com.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
Well, we are in America's Web Radio. We are in Let's Talk Venezuela, and we have a luxury guest, a Cristal Montañez. Cristal, explain us a little bit about these logistics and that you describe in the border between Venezuela and Colombia.
Well, I'm going to explain about the logistics of for implementing a project, right?
Okay.
First of all, in order to implement a successful project, you need to have partners. And the first thing we did after creating the project here in Houston was to find, first, do an investigation and assessment of the crisis, and then search for logistic partners. What are logistic partners? Are people that can help facilitate on the ground where the project is implementing, and especially in our case, we needed a warehouse, because at that point, pre-COVID, our donor was sending containers of food, and we also were purchasing, procuring local commodities in order to stimulate the economy, diminish the xenophobia, and increase the nutritional value of the containers of meals, rice with soy, and dehydrated vegetables that we imported from the U.S., donated by Rights Against Hunger. So you need, how are you going to bring a container into the country, number one? Second, who is going to guard your container? You need security, you need extermination, you need volunteers that will distribute accordingly to each distribution center and keep track of that. In Colombia, we had the best logistic partner in Cúcuta, which was the Banco de Alimento of the Diocese of Cúcuta. In Pamplona, we identified another extraordinary logistic partner, the Fundación Banco Alimentos de Pamplona. So we kept two containers of food. That was approximately 20 tons of food in each city to run our project. As I say, this is pre-COVID. What else do you need? You need an administrative partner, because we are in the United States, right? So we need to identify an administrative partner, and that was our Rotary Club of Cúcuta, has been administrating the funds for the project, following all of the Colombian laws and regulations, which are very strict, because they are designed like that to prevent money laundering. Then you need the volunteers, and you need the coordinators of the places that were going to build the capacity so they can prepare, cook, and distribute meals, and also make sure that they have a secure and safe place to keep the food and the distribution, etc. So to me, that's the most valuable thing, because when you have all this logistic already planned and you've been working with these partners for so long, and the only thing that you need is really the funds to create a new phase to continue, because the crisis, as everybody thought, it was going to be short term. Now the government of Colombia and the international cooperation realizes that it's going to be a very long-term crisis. So long that the TPS that they are giving is up to 10 years.
Wow.
So they already understand that it's going to be long. So what happened to these refugees and migrant population? I'm going to tell you an example. One of our partners on the ground, we have a meeting, and they told me, we are finishing up a very successful phase four, and now we are going to dedicate our time after 2 years and 3 months. Remember, all these people that have been members of this organization that I'm referring to are Colombian. They dedicated 2 years and 3 months to our Venezuelan refugees. And they told me, I said, now that the government of Colombia is going to take care of all the needs of the Venezuelans, we are going to take care of the needs of our people. Because a lot of the organizations that have been working with the Venezuelan migration, the community has been asking, when are you going to continue to help us? So they're going to go and continue to start helping their own communities again. I have been in several meetings where local organizations are taking that resolution. They are going to help the local poor communities, because it is being said and published that the government of Colombia is going to help all these migrant population. What is the reality with the caminantes? They are not part of this migrant population that qualify for this temporary status. So the bottom line is they need more attention now than before, because organizations that were helping are going back to help the Colombian vulnerable population. So there is less help for the caminante. It might be more help for the refugee who qualify for the TPS. but that is not all the Venezuelan population. So right now, it's kind of a very vulnerable, and that's why we decided that we want to continue the project and set up a campaign to be able to raise the funds, which I hope, Carlos, that you and Joyce will help me help us to promote this campaign so we can continue our work on the ground.
What is the goal in hard cash?
The goal is, in the meanwhile, we're looking for donors, right? As you know, donors are very difficult to find right now because the United States is in big trouble and there is a lot of crisis here. So we projected a goal very short term. We projected a goal for 4 months. So the goal for 4 months, what we are doing in this case is creating a meal. We created a meal. Instead of donating 30 different kinds of products, as we usually did, we met with the nutritionist and decided to donate one meal for everybody. The meal consists of a very nutritious and heavy, with a lot of chicken soup, mm-hmm. with vegetables, an arepa, which is the Venezuelan bread, and a cup of hot unrefined natural brown sugar, because it is very high calorie content, mm-hmm. and people are on the streets and literally sleeping on the streets.
Mm-hmm.
So in order to manage a small campaign, that's what we created. We had a meeting with the international organization, and according to the evaluation of numbers, before the increase of last night, we calculated, okay, we need to provide 350 plates for dinners. There are dinners mainly that we're going to supply. A French organization has been assigned by the international cooperation to provide the breakfast and lunch. However, your breakfasts are arriving too late, so we've been asked by two shelters to provide breakfast also. That brings us to a 350 meals per day that we are committing.
Mm-hmm.
Each plate of soup with the arepa and the agua de panela, hot panela water, mm-hmm. end up costing, if the dollar doesn't drop completely, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because when you're working with currency exchange, things could happen, about 36 cents of a dollar.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Per meal.
Okay.
So in reality, one day, if we were to calculate 350 meals per day, it will be $126 to produce those 350 meals.
Per day?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So you are talking about 18 weeks, isn't it?
Well, what we did a projection first for 56 days, 8 weeks.
8 weeks.
And 8 weeks will provide, during 56 days, 19,600 meals.
Mm-hmm.
And it will cost approximately $7,017. And okay. That is literally for 8 weeks, that's 2 months. So we want to calculate 4 months, we just duplicate that. But we just want to do, we did a test already with the small donation that we got, and the bottom line is the food commodities that we donated Friday before last, planned for 2 weeks with this nutritionist for 350 meals, were not enough. We have two shelters who have run out of meals yesterday because of the increase of migration, which is unpredicted. Sometimes the migration is low, sometimes it's constant, and sometimes it just increases. So we have to go with average, right? So that's what we decided. And when you're starting a new project, I really believe in a study very small. After coming from a middle-sized project with all the funding to go, I need to go to a very small project because there is no funding. as we get the funding, then we have the capacity to calculate very quickly how to grow the project, how to increase the meals, and how to bring more of the centers that we took out of the list, that actually were four that we took out of the list. So out of eight centers that we've been supporting on the humanitarian route all throughout COVID and before COVID, we are only keeping four.
Okay. Cristal, the time is over for the English version of Let's Talk Venezuelan. I would like you to send us your last thinking about all this and your message for the international community.
Yes, no, I appreciate very much this space to share about this crisis. It is important to keep in mind that historically this is the largest refugee crisis in our hemisphere, the second largest crisis in the history of the world, displacement of people, exodus, and also in the middle of a pandemic. So we have three very critical elements that join together that make worse this tragedy that is happening in my country, where communism is reigning, where we have our country is controlled by the transnational organized crime and terrorism, and people are forced to flee the country in these circumstances. So I would love for all of you who are listening to talk to your friends about it. Talk to your friends and tell them, hey, look what's happening in Venezuela. Let's pay attention. Because the bottom line is, we are your neighbors. And at one point, we were one of your strongest oil partners in the world. So thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to share what we have been doing. And if you have the opportunity to help us kickstart this project, I really appreciate it. Please check on the internet, United for Change. And United for Change is United and number four, Change, Hope for Venezuelan Refugees, if you want to learn more about the project. Thank you.
Thank you, Cristal, and you are invited for the next hour in Spanish. Have a good day.
Thank you.
Bye. Thank you.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.